What is wrong with us if Jesus says, ask anything in my name, if my words remain in you? Well, maybe his words is not remaining in us. Maybe we ain't reading the word. Maybe we're not going to church. Maybe we think we don't need to go to church. Maybe I don't need to read the Bible. Well, that's from the devil. That ain't from God, because God told you, 1 Timothy 2:15, to study, to show yourself approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth. So when you get a hold of the word, and you've got the word in you, he said you can ask for anything, like Bill said. And so I asked him, I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, on behalf of John 15:7, I ask you to fix Caitlin's face. And Lord, I don't even want a scar on that little girl's face. When a young lady grows up, does she want scars on her face? Do you want any on yours? No, see, you're a normal woman, see? How about you, little girl? You don't want none on yours either, right? So we don't want you to ever be in an accident like that. But I knew when that little girl grew up, she would not want to have scars all over her face. So I don't just say, like some people, oh, God, please, if it be your will, just let her live. Forget that nonsense. He said, I can ask for whatever. And so what am I going to ask for? I ask the best. That's exactly right. Father, in the name of Jesus, fix that little face. I'm your son. You're my God. Your word's in my heart. I've obeyed your word. So I'm asking you, Father, in the name of Jesus, in this magnificent body that you've given me, this is still flesh and blood, but you're not. You're spirit, and you live in me. And so I am asking you, Father, in Jesus' name, for the powerful Holy Spirit that lives in me to go into that little girl and to heal her little body, put her brain stem back together. That doctor said the brain stem is jerked loose back there. But I know you made that thing in the first place. I know you can put every cord back and hook it up to the right place. The doctor told me there ain't a doctor in the world that can put the brain stem back together. I said, you don't know my Jesus. I said, my Jesus can do it. He won't even make an incision back there. I mean, everybody thought I was nuts down there at the hospital. That's okay. I don't care. Do you? So I stood on his word. I asked him to put Caitlin back together. I asked him to put her face together. I asked him to take every scar, every red mark off her face. And Lord, I don't want a single scar on that little face. I want it beautiful when you get through with it. I want her little legs back. I want her knees fixed. I want her leg put back together. And Lord, I'll not let a doctor touch her. I'll trust you to do it all. And in 2 weeks, the little face was totally completely healed without a scar. Not a mark on that little face. She sat over here and had dinner with us. Was it last night? Yeah, last night. And we were sitting there. We went out yesterday afternoon. She came over. We took her out. We went out and had something to eat. And we came back and we sat around here and ate little odds and ends, you know, and talked. And I just thought, wow, look at that little girl. Look at that beautiful little girl. Not a scar on her face. In fact, I just stand in awe when I see her riding her bicycle, running across the place, and all the things. Now, she still does not speak perfect. And she doesn't see perfect. But she can see. And I was over to school the other day, and a lady comes sitting down beside us. She said, Mr. Scribner, I heard about the story of your granddaughter. And I thought, well, how did you hear about it? You're a new teacher here? She said, yes. But I asked some of the other teachers, why does Caitlin have problems talking? And they all told me about her miracle. I thought to myself, now, God, I know why you left her like that. If you'd have totally fixed her without a single thing wrong with her at all, nobody would ever ask the question. So why is she normal? Who asked that question? Nobody. But if she has troubles talking a little, well, what's wrong with her? Well, let me tell you what happened to her 10 years ago in a car wreck when her mother and her grandmother were killed and her granddaddy stepped on the scene and Jesus did the unbelievable thing of raising her back to life. Wow! Does God know how to get glory out of what he does? Yes, he knows. But I just thought yesterday as I saw her jumping her little bicycle, riding across there, coming over to the house. I thought, well, she's coming over here, yeah, to see us. And she does. And, of course, she wanted to come over and play with Lily. That's Cheryl's new puppy. And so she wanted some pictures of Lily. So we had to go to town and get a couple of frames and put two pictures in there for her to take home because Lily is her puppy, too. And that's good. What can we do in these bodies if we believe God? Anything. Didn't he say that? For our perishable sinful earthly bodies must be transformed into heavenly bodies that will never die. 54 and 55. When this happens, when our perishable, I think there's 58 verses, I think. When this happens, when our perishable earthly bodies have been transformed into heavenly bodies that will never die, then at last the scripture will come true. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Now, that could happen for us at any time. Now, I realize there's a lot of people in the church don't believe in the rapture. And that's okay. If you don't believe in it, you can be left behind if you want to. You know, but as for me and Cheryl, we're going to be out on the first load. We're on the way. You know, I mean, I got to, Dave don't believe in the rapture. His wife does. I told him, I said, Dave, if the rapture comes, I ain't going without dragging you along. You can go screaming and kicking all you want to, but I'm going to drag you with me. And then on the way up there, I'm going to be screaming at you, Dave, I told you so. That's okay. If you don't believe, that's okay. But I believe there's going to be a rapture. Now, I mean, I realize there's a... I will have to say, when I think about the rapture, I when my daughter didn't want me to talk about the rapture, she's already had hers. Her and her mama got it together at exactly the same time, 10 years ago. You know, they got to go to heaven that same day. And I can just see it now, you know, that here's Mama and Amanda up there with the King. And you know how girls like diamonds? And you know how I can only see them up there now with all these diamonds and everything. And somebody says, well, what about Thurman? And they said, Thurman who? who? Oh, we didn't have time to think about him. If you got Jesus Daddy in your presence, and you got all that streets of gold and that big beautiful house he's give you, you ain't got time to think about what's on earth, have you? No. Everybody that I've seen that's had an experience of going to heaven when the Lord told them they got to come back, you know what their words are? No, Lord, no. I don't want to go back to that place. Isn't that something? But those that have been in hell. Oh, my goodness gracious. If you, we taped off a TBN here a while back, a DVD. We got it back there. It's called Heaven and Hell Testimonies. And there, I think, at least five different ones. The one on the end, the last one's not off of TBN. I think it was Daystar, the last one. But anyway, the first four was two men died and went to hell. Two men died and went to heaven. And one of them was a preacher, or two of them was preachers, but all of them are preachers now. The two that died and went to hell, they wasn't preachers, but they are now. Let me tell you for sure. All you got to have one little experience in hell, and you come back, you ain't never going to be the same. You know, that's just like that doctor, I can't think of his name now, but he wrote a book, and it was on TBN until he died. No, not E.B., not E.B. That was one, he was one of them, though, you're right. But there was another one. Dr. Ridinger or something that wrote, what was it, Return from the Dead or Hell? No, it's Hell, something Hell. But he was a doctor. And this guy was a doctor, and he had several people that, he was a heart doctor. People would get killed in a car wreck or something, and they'd come in and he'd resuscitate them with all his equipment. And some of them would come back screaming, Doc, I've been in hell! I've been in hell! He said, I thought they were hallucinating. You know, no, there ain't no such thing as hell. He said, I was lost myself. So he said, I didn't know nothing about the Word of God. Then finally one day a guy come back, he said, Doc, you got to tell me how to get to heaven. And he said, well, okay. He said, this is the way you do it. He said, you just repent of your sins and say, well, I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And he said, little did I know, when I quoted that, I got saved too. God done a sneaky on him. He sent a guy back from the dead. He got that guy saved. And he said, I got saved too. He said, the best day I ever had in my life when I quoted that prayer to that guy, not even knowing what I was doing, but I got saved and transformed, and Jesus saved my soul. Now then, he became a great doctor, and he lived a lot of years, and he wrote this book, something about hell, but it's an awesome book. And what it is was his experiences with people that had died, and he'd resurrected them, or raised them up by resuscitation, whatever, and the people had come back screaming. Screaming, I've been in hell. You know what would be the best thing that happened to every one of us Christians? Just 10 seconds in hell. I mean, it'd wake you up. You know that? 10 seconds in hell. What do you think would happen? What do you think would happen to you, brother, if you had to spend 10 seconds in that place? You think you'd be a different Christian? Well, if we think we would be, then why aren't we anyway? That's what we should do, right? We should take the example of, if Lord, if I'm not doing everything I can be doing for you, then I need to change today. You know that? Every one of us needs to be doing everything we can do for Jesus every day. Don't you agree? Oh yeah, that was an awesome story. After the first week, the second, third, and fourth week, I had a very unique experience with God. I mean, I'm standing on the Word, I'm praying for babies, and I'm seeing God raise up children. By Thursday of the second week, I've probably seen three other children that were on their deathbed miraculously raised up by our Lord when I went to their rooms and prayed for them. So I am about the King's business, seeing Him raise up these children. Well, about Wednesday night of the second week, I'm walking down the corridor, kind of like this, going home because I'm not in a hurry. And all of a sudden, I hear a guy walking a little faster than me, and he walks right up beside me and starts walking the same speed I am. And I turn to see who he is. And a little guy, about 5'10", looked like he weighed about 170 pounds. And he was looking me right in the eye. When I turned and looked at him, he was looking me right in the eye. And this is what he said. The Lord said to tell you He loves you. Is that an awesome experience? I mean, it startled me. You know, I stopped, and of course, he just kept right on walking. He never would slow down. And I thought, who is that guy? I don't know who that guy is. And so the next week, same thing, about the same time of the morning, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm going home to get a few hours sleep. I'm walking along that corridor, almost the same place, and another guy overtakes me. And when he does, I turn to see who he is. Same thing, different guy. Looks at me right now, and he said, the Lord said to tell you, He loves you. The third time now, the fourth week, I'm going home Wednesday or Thursday night, 1, 2, or 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm walking along kind of casually. I've been praying for people. By this time, I have seen God raise up 7 children that were on their deathbed that were going to die when I went to their rooms, got the parents to repent of their sins, and He raised up all of those children. I got to see God do some awesome things in that 30 days that I was in Cook's Medical Center.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety, titled, Always Be Enthusiastic About Jesus, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.